Barbara, in this session, we're going to be talking about forgiveness. And I tell you, if you're a selfish person, you want to understand forgiveness, because that's what really releases the sin that's in our lives. And, you know, I've said many times, forgiveness is one of the most selfish things that you can experience, because it sets old number one. And, you know, we always look out for ourselves. And it really sets you free when you understand that you can be forgiven and that you need to forgive.
And Darren, this is probably one of our most important teachings, because everybody goes through opportunities every day of their life for forgiveness. And I believe unforgiveness leads to so much tragedy, and it affects our physical as well as our emotional being. So this is a teaching that I've been looking forward to for a long time.
Well, and we have wanted to do this, and I have talked about it. In fact, I had a title of a message, a man came up to me and he said, "You had an old message in Darren's coffee shop. I wish you'd redo it." And it was forgiveness 490 times. In other words, 70 times 7. Well, I don't know if I'll redo that one, but this one today is an awesome message. And I want to begin by praying today, but I want to pray the Lord's Prayer right here at the beginning. And you can always find that in Matthew chapter 6. And the disciples were asking Jesus, "How in the world did we pray?" And Jesus said in verse 9 of chapter 6, I'm sorry here, do I? Yeah, I have the right chapter. Yes. Chapter 6 of Matthew. "Pray then in this way: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
Amen.
That was the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray.
And in the middle of it, you know, he starts with praising God and thanking God for our daily needs. And he knows, God knows that we have daily needs of bread and food. But then he immediately goes into, "Forgive us our debts, what we owe you, Father, as we forgive those who have offended or are indebted to us." And Darren, I don't believe we really know what we're praying when we pray that in the Lord's Prayer. I really don't. I think we skip over that, and in some ways are very flippant. We know it by heart, so here we go through the Lord's Prayer. And it's very important and very serious that we forgive.
Right, and many people have taken this prayer apart and taught, and I mean, you could teach for the rest of your life just on the Lord's Prayer. But I'm going to suggest this to you that are listening today, and some of you are fairly new Christians, or some of you have been lazy Christians, or somebody never did really teach you the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to suggest that you memorize this prayer. And I think in the story of Let's Roll, didn't the young man on the plane ask the telephone operator to pray this prayer with him?
Yes, and she did, yes.
And what was that young man's name?
It was Todd Beamer.
Todd Beamer.
Yes.
I thought that was awesome that he wanted her to pray the Lord's Prayer with him when he was on that flight. He knew he was going to die, and he wanted her to pray the Lord's Prayer with him.
And he got an operator who knew the Lord's Prayer. You know, in this day and age, Darren, you're right. A lot of people do not know the whole Lord's Prayer. But Lisa Thompson was on the other line, and she stayed with him, and she's a born-again believer, and it has affected her life as well.
Awesome. Occasion. Yeah, for sure.
But also Todd went through the 23rd Psalm. He knew it was going to be his last few moments on earth. And I praise God for Americans like that. Oh, praise God.
But you know, in the story, in the book Let's Roll, the rendering goes like this, that his mother had taught them really many, many scriptural portions. And praise God for that Baptist family that were deep in the Word. Mm-hmm. I mean, they knew the Word. They applied the Word to their daily lives. So when he was in a fix, in a tight spot, a real tight spot, he had Word to go on.
That's right.
And I believe he went out of this life in victory. Mm-hmm. I don't believe he went out in defeat at all. I believe he went out in victory. But when you look at the Lord's Prayer and it says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," well, I tell you, that's a powerful statement. Do we really want God's will on earth? Does he really know what's best for us? And forgiveness, by the way, is one of those things. We're going to talk about that right in the middle of this prayer.
Isn't he the biggest forgiver of all?
Yes.
He truly is.
Yes.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness.
You know, and it goes on to say, "Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts." I believe that we can look up to the Lord and thank him for our daily bread and then thank him for forgiveness. And we're going to talk about forgiveness right now. And Barb, you've got a real handle on this matter of the debt and the debtor. Why don't you talk about it?
Well, the 14th and 15th verse, right after he teaches them the Lord's Prayer, he goes into a very serious thing, and I want to read that 14th and 15th. For if you forgive, now he says, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. He goes right back to forgiveness. He doesn't go back to give us our day, this day our daily bread. He goes back to forgiveness, and he says, for if you forgive men of their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Darren, God holds us, I believe this is the only scripture God holds us to accountability if we don't forgive.
On forgiveness.
On forgiveness, yes.
Well, I believe that when we realize that, you know, our forgiveness is on the line if we don't forgive. And I'll tell you, I don't want to be on God's list of boys, men that have not forgiven and have him withhold forgiveness from me because I've not forgiven another person. Mm-hmm. And so it is extremely serious. And some people think, well, it's an option, you know, think, well, it's my right to hold a grudge. You know, look what they did to me. They done me wrong. As it says in many country western songs, you know, he did me wrong. Well, I think we need to look at this and say, wait a minute. All right, suppose they did you wrong. What are you going to do about that? And the Lord says right here, if you don't forgive that wrongdoer, then the Lord can't forgive you. So you have the key to your own forgiveness with the Father right there.
Mm. Oh, that's so true. And I believe, Darren, every day in our families, even in our immediate families, we have such great opportunity to forgive because little things said, just little things out of the mouth without thinking by sons or daughters or fathers or mothers, lays a platform for a person to dwell on all day long. It's like you were saying the other day, you were saying, it's a phrase, you were saying, we should never hold court in our minds. The theater of the mind and the theater is in the mind and the devil's running the show. So if we allow that small little comment to take root and to dwell on it all day long, we're going to get into unforgiveness, and that's a very serious thing.
We know we took off the other day to have a fun day, and we were going to go do some shopping. And we pulled on to I-225, and we were whipping down through there. And I was driving, and you said, well, how fast are you going? I didn't want to tell you, but I was exceeding the speed. So I slowed down a little bit. Anyway, we got into a little tussle between the two of us about something. I can't even remember what it was, and that's an issue quite often. We can't even remember why we're upset.
Isn't that true?
And you said to me the famous words, do you always have to have the last word? I said a couple more things. You said a couple more things. And I said to myself, now we're going to ruin a perfectly wonderful day here if I don't back off. Mm-hmm. And I... you know, I always want to say one more thing.
You want to say one more thing,
but
that's right.
You know, but. Yeah. And anyway, so we both laid it down because we knew that we're both strong-willed. We're both really sure we're right. So we had to lay that down or there would have been unforgiveness. There would have been a grudge created. There would have been an incident between us. And, you know, we have learned in our marriage that we need to say, you know, I'm sorry I said that. Mm-hmm. Now we have to put down the court, you know, because we want to argue, we want to debate, we want to say, well, you know, I was more right than you were.
And it's true.
It's
we
really
all go
true.
Through that.
We
and
all
we
go
do,
through that.
We hold court all day long about how right we are. Our rights are so important and how wrong that person was. And that goes into unforgiveness.
And it
you're
goes
right.
like this, you know, well, if you didn't want to fight about it, why'd you bring it up? You know, well, you're wrong for bringing it up. Well, you're wrong for fighting back. You know, I mean, you can go back and forth like that and tussle. And, you know, sometimes we draw a line, we drive a peg, so to speak, or a stake, and we say, I'm not giving in. Mm-hmm. You're wrong. You should not have said that to me that way, in that tone of voice. Well, I tell you, that destroys relationships. And when we're not big enough as people, particularly big enough as Christians, to say, you know, I'm going to choose my battles, and this is not one I'm willing to fight over. Now, if it was a real big issue, yeah, you'd want to hang in there and get it resolved. But sometimes you just need to back off and say, okay, I'm going to lay it down. I'm gonna let this thing die because it should die. It's not worth damaging our relationship here. But many times, Barbara, people don't do that.
They don't.
They really sacrifice their relationship. And I want to say this to husbands and wives that are listening today. Love can be killed. We're observing some marriages where the love is dying, and it's dying because of words. And you need to think about that. You know, sometimes, yeah, you could be absolutely right. And I don't like the term dead right, but sometimes when somebody wants to say, well, I was 100% right, say, man, I'm dead right on this